first public hearing is conditional use 1703 RWR 9 LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for general offices and mini storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, parcel containing 5.91 acres more or less, lying south of Route 9, approximately 908 feet southwest of the intersection of Route 9 and Road 282. Gentlemen, I received a couple of correspondence on this application. For the record, we've also received an exhibit booklet from the applicants. The exhibit booklet is a three-ring binder about an inch thick. It contains information on, there's an illustration plan, reference to the project team, qualification of the engineer on application, copy of the application, a site plan, property line survey, proposed findings and facts and conditions, copy of deeds, conceptual entrance plan, a green technology, best management practices, reference to stormwater, a soil evaluation, a septic site evaluation, a conceptual site septic plan, worth of photographs from March 02, references to surrounding commercial properties, strategies and investment levels from the state strategies, reference to zoning, topography, the floodplains, soil classifications, wetlands, and groundwater recharge qualities. That is all, as I said, it is a part of the record. Attached to that is also a copy of a revised site plan. In April 18th of 2006, we were advised by the State of Delaware Department of Transportation that a traffic impact study was not recommended and that the existing level of service is level of service E and will not change as a result of this application. Today we received a copy of an October 18th, 2007 letter from the Department of Transportation. This was provided to us by the engineer on this application. They have reviewed the expansion of the site for a 19,000 square foot general office building and a 31,562 square foot warehouse. Makes reference to the conditional use site plan. A traffic study will not be required. They ask that a note that access to this site shall be from the existing entrance along Route 9 via the existing 50 foot wide ingress egress easement. The existing entrance shall be improved to include but not limited to a protected left turn lane and a deceleration lane. Entrance plan shall be developed in accordance with the department's rules and regulations prior to entrance approval. Certificates of occupancy for this site shall not be issued until all entrance and roadway improvements have been completely constructed and final inspection and approval by the South District Permit Supervisor. With a proposed expansion to the site, the department will require a copy of the record plan. A letter of no objection is not a DelDOT endorsement of the project. Rather, it is a reference to the transportation improvements, which the applicant may be required to make as a precondition to recordation steps and deed restrictions. And that was signed by Mark Cote of the Department of Transportation. From the County Engineering Department, Planning and Permit Division, and received on October 10. And in reference to this application, we are advised that the site is located within a north coastal planning area, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed at this time, that conformity to the north coastal planning study will be required, and other comments of proposed general offices and mini storage is not in an area where Sussex County has immediate plans to improve sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. That was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. Lastly, from the Sussex Conservation District, in the form of a memorandum, from Debbie Absher, District Coordinator, we are advised that this site contains two types of downer loamy sand or downer sandy loam and Hamilton loamy sand. that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation upon completion of construction, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or text ditches affected, that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, that it will be necessary that the applicant follow state sediment and stormwater requirements as it relates to on-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared, a copy of a soil map, and a description of the different soil types and reference document to prime and other important farmlands. And gentlemen, that's all I have at this time. I should have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the interests of RWR LLC, RWR 9 LLC, which is the applicant on conditional use number 1703. I'd like to introduce two of the principal owners. I have Mr. Rick Reed and Mark Woodruff with me today. Also for the design team, I have Mark Davidson, who will be appearing and testifying. We have J.C. Owens, also from the design group. has been pointed out by Mr. Lank, we have a project that's located on the south side of Route 9 in Lewis and Rehoboth 100. It contains 5.91 acres and is located in an AR1 agricultural residential district. Currently, the property is being used as it has a house on it and land that would generally be characterized as vacant, in the sense that it is neither tilled or used for any other purpose. We're seeking a classification as a conditional use under the zoning code for general office and general warehousing. The property is located in a low-density area, as the land use plan goes, and under the state strategies map is in level 3. Mr. Lank has described for you the various exhibits that are contained in the exhibit packet that we have submitted to the commission, including but not necessarily limited to the application, proposed findings and conclusions. There are references to deeds and easement and common maintenance agreements. There are photographs of the site that will be referred to in the course of testimony, a conceptual septic plan. There will be entrance designs, all of which we will refer to as we go through the presentation with you. At this time, I would like to call Mark Davidson to the podium and begin the presentation. Would you identify yourself, please, for the commission?
Yeah, good evening. Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware.
And you have filed with this particular exhibit book a summary of your curriculum vitae indicating your qualifications to appear and testify.
That is correct.
And you are a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware?
I am not licensed in the state of Delaware, but my qualifications are submitted for the record.
And you have previously testified before this commission in matters relating to land use design and planning.
That is correct.
Would you please, if you could, describe the site and the surrounding areas at this particular site?
Located in the booklet under the map section, it would be the second map.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's two boards set up. There's one over here and one here. But Mr. Davidson, if you would turn yours so that these folks sitting closest to us can see it. We all have it sitting in front of us. And in fact, if you wanted to turn this one a little bit, it would be fine. But we're okay. We've got what you all are looking at. We've got in front of us. So. And if you, for those of you in the public, if you wish to get up and take a closer look, feel free to do so. Just do it quietly. All right, sir.
Go ahead, Mr. Schrader.
Or Mr. Davidson.
I think Mr. Davidson was about to answer the question.
Okay. Yeah, this property is in the vicinity of other uses of commercial and conditional uses. Located on that map in the booklet is immediately to the east of us, immediately adjacent to this property, is a conditional use application with an antique store. It's labeled as Practical Yours Antiques. Further east, just down the road on Route 9, across the street, is another conditional use, which is A1 custom fence. To the west and adjacent to the property is the another conditional use, which is home away from home kennels. Across the street are two C1 zones, one being the Beeman's Old and New Antique Gallery and the Casual Marketplace. Down the road to the east and across Route 9 is Good For You Natural Foods and Juice Bar, and there's Steele's Gun Shop. And all of those properties there on that intersection of Joseph's Road and Route 9 are zoned commercial, as well as across the street from there, there's another conditional use where Berica Home Sales Office is located.
And the site that currently is owned by RWR9 is being used as what, Mr. Davison?
Currently, it is there is a existing single-family dwelling that is being rented at this time, and the remaining portion is a just an open field, vacant field.
And what is the proposed use, and how will it look as far as this site is concerned?
Proposed use for this site is, and I'll step you through from beginning at the Route 9 and working my way back. What we are looking at doing is up front are two 9,500 square foot single story general office buildings. The look of those office buildings are going to, the owners would like to keep with a single family look.
Okay.
On this
looking
site.
At too.
Okay. With a residential look running with these two buildings. We've taken some photos here of some buildings that are located along Route 9 that are, and this is what the applicants would like to see for these two buildings out front. Working our way back to the rear of the site, we have what we are proposing are some more office space with storage and warehouse. These types of uses would be for, they could be general office, professional office, or they could be used for service companies, contractors, being able to use the warehouses. On the site plan, if you look, the buildings are set up in such a way that the rear of each one of these buildings could have a garage door on the back so that these types, the types of uses, the contractors could pull their trucks in, be able to unload, and utilize this building. The remaining site is the existing dwelling that is on the site. It is, and it is being proposed at this time as just being in, being converted into an office building.
As this particular site goes, what are the immediate uses that are adjacent to this property?
The immediate uses, again, are to the east of us is the Practically Yours Antique. On the west is the Home Away From Home Kennel. If you look, there are some residential houses to the rear. To the rear of the property, there are some residential houses. About the closest single-family dwelling would be to the south of our site, behind the existing dwelling that's on our property. It's about approximately 40 feet from our property line. The other houses are greater than 100 feet from all our property lines.
Now, taking a look at the site plan or the concept site plan for this particular business center, will you describe how the entrance for this project will be made and how that works?
Yeah, located in the in your booklet under the Del Dot section, I have a conceptual entrance plan that we submitted to Del Dot. in looking at that plan on site, if you look, what DLDOT has us, we're utilizing the existing 50-foot right-of-way that has been deeded for this property, and that is being used by the existing antique store as well as some single-family dwellings in the rear. But the what DLDOT is having us do is we're upgrading the entrance, making it building it to DLDOT standards. Also, by providing safety for this type of entrance, we are going to be doing a there's going to be a deceleration lane that's going to be built for this entrance, as well as instead of a typical bypass lane coming around for any left turn lanes, any left turn movements coming into the site, we will be doing a dedicated left turn lane. There will also be upgrades to the shoulders during the entrance construction for this site.
Once you get onto this site, describe, if you will, please, the parking layout for this particular project.
The parking for the site has been geared towards being able to provide sufficient parking in front of each one of the buildings. We've tried to take this site and we've moved the parking to the center of the site itself. The buildings up front for the two 9,500 square foot office buildings have been placed all the way towards the front, located along Route 9, the parking in the rear. There will be no parking in the front yard setbacks for this site.
And I'm looking at the site plan and ask you, there is a 20-foot right-of-way dedication to be made to DLDOT, correct?
That is correct.
And then there's a 40-foot setback?
Actually, it's a 60-foot setback from the newly dedicated right-of-way line.
So it would be 80 feet from the present right-of-way line, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And the buildings that will be facing Route 9 will have this architectural plan of looking like the residential architectural concept, and the entrances will be to the interior or the rear of the buildings if you were looking at them from Route 9.
That is correct.
Okay. How much parking would you need for this particular project?
What we are showing for the under the code, there's one. It's one parking space per 200 square feet of general office, professional office space. There's none required for warehousing. So what we have here, we've calculated that 179 spaces were needed for this type of facility, and we are proposing 182.
And if the market demand was for more warehousing and less office, then you would have a requirement of less parking. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And if the reverse were true, you would also have a requirement for more parking that may be difficult for you.
That is correct.
When you get into this particular property, you have an entrance that is not on your property, but is on the adjacent property. Was an effort made to try to get an entrance through DLDOT onto your own property?
Yes, there was.
And what was DLDOT's response?
DLDOT wanted us to use the existing, DLDOT and they wanted us to use the existing entrance that was located on site. The easement, the 50-foot easement, is dedicated for this property, for the use of that entrance. They discourage multiple entrances, and they like to have shared accesses where they can.
This entranceway or existing right-of-way, is it going to have to be upgraded?
Yes, it will be.
And can you describe for the commission what the upgrades would be required in order to make this existing right-of-way work for this project?
Yeah, presently on site, the existing right-of-way has an approximate 12-foot wide, maybe 14-foot wide existing paved road coming back. To meet code, we have to expand that to become 24 feet wide. So this access will become 24 feet wide. We're going to carry that 24-foot width all the way to the to almost three-quarters of the exit property. And what I'm doing is I'm pointing in this area right in here. It will go 24 feet, and then it will taper back down inside to meet with the existing driveway that services the single-family residences in the back.
The property, or that particular right-of-way, will also serve the other properties to the rear of this project, is that?
That is correct, yes.
Will this property have on-site septic or sewer facilities?
Yes.
you would? Would you describe that?
In the booklet, we've provided the site evaluation that was approved by Denerec for this facility. We also have provided a concept plan showing a proposed wastewater disposal area for this facility.
And would you mind just taking a minute to review with the commission the wastewater concept plan?
The wastewater concept plan is, again, the facility is located in the rear of the site, which is around the adjacent existing single-family dwelling that's on site right now. With the existing house, we upgraded the septic when the applicants purchased this property. We built with that the existing system that is located along the western side of the property line is capable of handling a sufficient amount of flow from some of these proposed uses on site. If expansion needs to occur, and that's based on Denerec's requirements and based on the number of employees for each establishment here, then additional fields will be designed for.
And there will be stormwater management issues also?
That is correct.
And how will they be solved?
Stormwater, again, in the booklet, we provided some soils work, and I've also provided a section on here for stormwater. What we're going to be looking at is a green technology type design for this site. The stormwater management pond, with the soils out here, they are conducive for infiltration. And the soils report indicates that. If you look at the site plan, the topography for the site runs from the rear of the site to the front. That's why the pond is located where it is out front. But it is back from the road. Again, it'll approximately be about 50 feet from the existing edge of paving, possibly even more than that once we start to design this. And it will be landscaped. It will be a dry basin. It will be planted. It's going to be a sort of a biofiltration pond, so it will have to be planted based on planting specifications. And I have provided planting the types of plant materials in the under the stormwater section of the booklet.
In addition to the landscaping that would go with the stormwater management, won't there also be landscaping provided or built into the design of this project?
That is correct. I'll start with the center of the parking area. What we've designed here is sort of a community park area for the each individual use here, some place where they could possibly come at lunchtime and be able to sit and have lunch. There's a walking path in there. We've provided on the site plan, we've provided for some benches. That's also going to act as sort of a rain garden, and it works out where we can take the parking lot and we'll be able to drain sheet flow the parking lot to this area, provide a closed drainage system, and be able to discharge to the pond up front. This will allow us to be able to reduce the amount of runoff hitting the stormwater management pond all at once. So, and again, this type of design is all spelled out in the green technology section under the stormwater section of the handbook. The ultimate landscaping for this site is we're providing for substantial screening around the entire site. Along the front of the property, there's sufficient room along the front of the property to provide for types of landscaping, some trees and shrubbery. Going down the west property line, we have landscaping buffering this facility from the adjacent neighbors. Going down the west side, in the rear along the south property line between this facility and the single family houses, there is a 30-foot buffer back there, a landscape buffer that will be planted and be utilized. The 30-foot buffer will not hinder where the proposed wastewater treatment facility will be going. We've also provided for landscaping along the existing easement, the right-of-way easement that's running down the east side of this property.
The site also needs to be supplied with a water supply. How will that take place?
It'll be an individual on-site well.
And that will be sufficient to support the needs of the various buildings that are proposed for
that is correct, project. And it will be all permits will be gained by the Department of Natural Resources.
The entrance existing right-of-way in the interior streets, they will be private streets, if you will.
Yes.
And there will be a maintenance agreement to obligate the occupants of the buildings to support the interior and maintain streets, common areas, and whatnot. Is that correct?
Yes.
The residual lands include a house that's currently existing. How will that be used?
That house will be converted into an office space.
That would be all the questions that I have for Mr. Davidson, and if you'll permit me, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, I'll move on to Mr. Woodruff and then make all of us available at one time for questions as they may arise.
All right, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Woodruff, would you identify yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Mark Woodruff from Harbison, Delaware.
And what is your relationship to this project, Mr. Woodruff?
I am one of the two partners in the project.
Mr. Reed being the other.
Yes.
And you were lucky enough to be chosen to speak tonight?
Yes, I was.
And this is not your normal format, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay. First off, let me ask you, can you confirm that everything that Mr. Davidson has had to say this evening is true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, I can.
There is a architectural design plan that was shown by Mr. Davidson that implies that you're going to try to have a residential-looking type project here. Is that, in fact, what you propose?
Yes, on the front two office buildings, that's what we are proposing.
And you also have an obligation, I believe, to be involved in the existing right-of-way and the roadway that goes back into this project. What burdens is your company willing to take on as it relates to the entrance, the right-of-way?
Via shared maintenance agreement.
And will you be doing the initial costs of construction? Will that belong to you also?
Yes.
And that would include also the entrance?
Correct.
Okay. Have you decided or will you decide to obligate the occupants of your project to share in all the maintenance costs of the interior of your project?
Yes, we will.
I guess the fair question that I really need to ask you the most is how did we get here and what was your idea about this plan?
Just to provide some general professional office space. We want it to be a well-landscaped, professional-looking facility that would provide professionals with office space. And as discussed, service contractors, the ability to have an office and a warehouse in the same location.
And what business are you in when you're not busy developing real estate, Mr. Woodruff?
The building supply industry.
So you have some feel for what subcontractors or tradesmen might need?
Yes.
And do you think that this project would supply a need in that particular area of the world, the economy?
Yes, I do. That's why we're proposing it.
Okay. As some of these trades go, is it possible that there would be, you're looking potentially for offices and warehousing, correct?
Right.
There may be just exclusively warehousing?
Right.
And there may be exclusively offices.
Right.
But in no event would you allow for any off-site or outside storage, is that correct?
Correct.
There you go. And I assume that in some of these trades, whether you're like an electrician or a plumber or whatnot, there are certain goods and chattels that go with your particular project that you need to display for your customers, and those types of things would be part of the normal activities of these offices. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, I can see they could possibly provide a showroom or something to show their customers.
That would be all the questions I have of Mr. Woodruff. Gentlemen, we have submitted to you proposed findings of fact and conditions to help navigate the conclusion of these proceedings. Of course, they're not binding on you, and you may do as you choose as the findings or what have you and conclusions and conditions go. The conditional use is intended as a process to provide a zoning type of classification that where the rigid application law does not necessarily work. As I often explain to people, you start with the AR1 district, and the commission, if it chooses to do so, and the council also they won't let you do everything, but sometimes there are things that are outside the AR1 type district that may be beneficial. And what you have here is an area that is beginning to develop as a crossroads community that does have commercial activities in it. And the proposed project that Mr. Woodruff and his partner are seeking to put here are the kind of things that would be supportive of the general economy of Sussex County and would be compatible with the retail type activities that are taking place. Gentlemen, we'll make ourselves available.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you clarify for me what you mean in terms of the shared maintenance agreement on the roadway?
There are two shared type maintenance agreements that we're going to wind up doing with Mr. Johnson. One is that if you take a look at the deeds, there is a shared maintenance agreement that was entered into by the owners of these properties at one time. And I believe it is about the fifth or sixth page in, Mr. Johnson. Yes. It's identified as a road maintenance agreement for perpetual maintenance of a private street, and it allocates among Robert Italian and Carol D. Althier. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And if she's here and I'm not, I apologize. Virginia Stamper as to the remainder of the lots, and there were allocations that were made between them, dividing up the maintenance costs at the time that this agreement was entered into in 1999. That's one thing, and we're talking about what happens after the new entrance and the new right-of-way are constructed. My client, RWR9, is going to be obligated to pay for the establishment of the required DLDOT improvements and the construction of the entrance on Route 9, and then they're also going to have to improve the right-of-way between Route 9 back to the entrance onto the particular project site. My client has informed me that he has met with Mr. Altalian and discussed with him an adjustment in these agreements, and acknowledges that the original costs are his. There may be a necessity for the shifting of the burdens away from the roughly 50-50 split that took place between Stamper on one side and Italian and Altier on the other side. Mm-hmm. At a later date, when we get it all done, or as we get it done and as the parties can agree upon it.
Mm-hmm. What about the folks that own the property behind there? Because as I read that maintenance agreement, the Stamper property, the residual lands, that's what your project is, references.
We own some of the Stamper land, and Stamper owns some of the Stamper land, and I believe that this agreement refers to four lots. There are actually five back there, correct?
No, the fifth being included, Mr. Italian's.
The fifth would include Mr. Italian's lot. So my property owners, the Stampers and the Italians, would have to agree upon the maintenance agreement.
But what about the folks, the private residences in the back?
What percentage
would they might expect to share?
I can only tell you that at this moment that the agreement of record sets what the maximum would be that they would share. What the parties agree amongst themselves later on, I can't predict, other than to say that my client acknowledges that he is creating a situation that would require him to pick up more than a 12% share of the total cost.
So in all likelihood, he'll pick up more than 12%, but how much, you haven't decided yet.
Mr. Johnson, you're asking me to negotiate with you rather than them, and
not
I
at
do
all.
Not choose
I'm
to
just
do
trying
so.
To clarify for myself and perhaps for some of the other folks that might be here concerned about what kind of expense they might have to incur by your project.
Well, again, it's not the original cost of construction that they're going to have to deal with. What we're looking at is that at some point in time, there may be a replacement cost of this particular right-of-way as a result of the traffic over the roadway. There may be a residual cost that goes with mowing the swales. It's possible that we may have snow, and there may be a snow removal cost. I don't know what those costs are. I'm sure Mr. Woodruff will come up with a number, and we'll present that to them. But again, we're looking not at the construction costs. We're looking at the annual.
At the annual maintenance or its cost. Replacement.
Yep.
Is the mini storage, is that off the table?
Yes.
The original application referenced 60,000 square feet of mini storage.
Is not on the table.
Okay. But in terms of the warehouses slash offices, at this point, that's all speculative, depending upon what the market might bring.
Well, the answer, the correct answer almost always is that what the market tells us is what we're going to do. But I always hate to say that because it sounds as if you're, you know, throwing leaves up in the air and just seeing where they fall. And that's not necessarily so. As it has been proposed, we're looking at 19,000 square feet of general office and 30,400 of storage. If somebody came in and said to my client, I'd like for it all to be storage, he would certainly do that. Similarly, if somebody came in and said it was all going to be office, would you rent it to me? I'm sure that he would certainly have to say yes to that, assuming that all the math is right, and also assuming that the parking and all of the necessary site plan requirements could be met. I think it's easier for him to meet site plan requirements for storage than it is for office.
And I assume you're aware that in many of the conditional use situations that at least the commission has faced in the 2.5 years I've been here, it's usually a very specific project for a conditional use.
And I can be only so specific, and that is that that the proposed project is general office and storage. The commission may see fit to make it a proportionate share and will be one, and a proportionate share may be another. For the moment, I guess the ratio is something, no, I'm not going to do the math, I'll get in trouble. It's about 40 to 60 by my reckoning, but that's a lawyer with a pencil, and that's a dangerous thing.
So what you're asking the commission to consider is a conditional use on a property that may or may not be considerably different from what's being discussed tonight.
Correct.
And are you aware of our of a decision that we had back in 2006 where we had a smaller project just across the street from you, and I'll reference conditional use 1636, where the commission denied that based on the speculative nature of the project and among other factors?
No, sir.
And if I'm riding on Route 9 and the two buildings are built closest to the highway, what might I expect to see? The back of the building, the front of the building?
We may not have made it clear, but it would be the rear of the building would look like the front of a building, which is what this photographic presentation is intended to show. It would look like that, with the exception that it would not have necessarily the entrance doors. The entrances would more likely than not be from the parking lot. And also, we are showing a proposed landscaping.
So it might look more as a, like a front of a residence.
It is intended to look more like a residence than it is to look like a warehouse. It is not intended to look like a metal building.
And who would be maintaining the property?
Depending upon the tenant mix and what the plans of my client are, it is likely at this point, as the discussions have gone, to perhaps condominiumize the project and make it a cooperative ownership with a common obligation to maintain it. If my client chooses to continue to own the property and do it as a rental, then all of the properties within the rental scheme will be obligated to pay into a fund for the typical common maintenance that goes with all of the common parking. Each tenant, of course, would be asked to pay a proportionate share of their tax obligations, as you would in a triple net lease, and we're going to be looking at insurance. But one way or the other, the occupants of the property will be looking to go in and pay towards the maintenance. My client, in one direction or the other, would be responsible for seeing to it that the maintenance and the upkeep are kept.
So is my hearing correct in that you may start out as rental properties, which then could be converted to condos?
The possibility exists.
Okay. I have any more questions at this time, Mr. Chairman?
All right, so thank you. Mr. Burton?
Just a couple. Thank you. What kind of lighting are you proposing in this? Is this going to be a well-lit? It's kind of lighting.
just for...
Whole parking lot going to be lit with...
It'll just be, the type of lighting is going to be some type of a downward illuminated light for safety. Nothing will be projected across any property lines.
Mounted on the buildings?
Probably mounted on the buildings mostly, and that way just for, again, for nighttime safety use.
You mentioned that there would be no outside storage.
Yes, sir.
Would that include trucks and trailers?
Well, certainly trucks could be parked there as a part of the people who would be coming and going. You know.
If I had a fleet of 10 trucks, could I park them there?
I'm going to let Mr. Woodruff answer that. Would you permit someone? You
need, for what time?
Overnight.
You need to stand up.
Overnight?
I would think if the subcontractors or contractors need to leave their vehicles at the office that it would be permitted. That's part of the reason why the parking's kind of in the center of like a courtyard, screened from the road and the other properties.
Okay. How much buffer landscape is there on Route 9 from the property line to the roadway?
Approximately 80 feet from the building to the right-of-way line.
That'd be landscape.
As to how much of it would be landscape, you have to respect the drainage in the area.
What we're proposing right now, what we show on the rendering, is there's approximately, about 35 feet of landscaping that will run across the front. There's also the 15-foot multimodal path that DLDOT is asking us to dedicate to public use. So the landscaping will be outside of that 30-foot, that 15-foot multimodal. So there's approximately about 30 to 35 feet there.
Great. Thank you. No further questions.
All right, sir, Mr. Gordy.
No questions.
Mr. Smith.
Hey, gentlemen have done a good job asking a lot of my questions, but I do have a few, one of which I just wrote down. This just for my edification, not so much germane to this application, but an estimate of the dollar value on the improvements to the highway with the multimodal path and all. I think your plan showed that you'd be putting in a dedicated left turn lane there on Route 9. Is that correct?
That is correct.
As you're heading westbound.
We decided $200,000 to $300,000 just for the entrance, right?
That's correct.
$200,000 to $300,000 just for the entrance.
Ooh. And that would...
Does not include the multimodal path along the front of the property on Route 9. Mm.
And that is Mr. Woodruff, the applicant. That's his part of his contribution to the project.
I think we're discussing that being all of that cost is his contribution to the project, not to the adjacent property owners or to the... And Mr. Reed, did I hear that behind? Yes. And Mr. Reed will be asked to put up at least $10 on it. But
$200,000.
But it will not be something that we're looking to have shared by the other property owners that have the access on the original cost.
I thought that was something significant to bring out because it is for the record there.
I don't know if Mark knows the answer, but I assume that the actual pavement improvements from the Route 9 back to the property line are significant also.
Well, that's correct. Again, looking on the, if you look on the conceptual plan, you'll see the extent in which these improvements are going to, they're going to also go past the actual boundary lines of this property. So it's the amount of work that's going to need to be done.
And the amount of this work that's being done would be done because DLDOT is thinking that that's going to make this particular stretch of highway either safer or...
That is correct, yes.
Not impede the flow of traffic. And all right, thank you. Is there any parking that would be in the front yard setback?
None.
In the question of outside storage, would that also include the waste dumpsters? Would the dumpsters be inside the mouth of the garages?
No, we do show dumpster pads within the site plan, and we will be providing screening and fencing around all the dumpster pads so that they will be out of sight of the public.
Do you think that a convenient time for the waste hauler could be worked out so that those dumpster trucks don't come at 5 a.m. and clang and bang? I'm just a curiosity. This is a conditional use.
I don't know that the
I don't know
county
that,
can require that, you know.
I think it can require us to remove the waste, but I can't guarantee the performance of the waste haulers. I don't.
The question.
I mean, I live in a residential neighborhood where they come at 5 o'clock in the morning.
And does that please you?
It doesn't bother me so much because I'm usually up at that time of the day, but there are people in my household who are mightily offended by the sound of that backup.
Right, that's
sound.
That's why I asked it. You know, we do have the public here, and they have their side as well. No other question. Soil profile shows it's a sandy loam, and that gives it characteristics that this site can absorb all of the stormwater that's going to be generated.
Correct. Yes, we've had the site tested.
And the septic would be a sand-lined trench gravity system?
Actually, if it was a gravity system, although based on the size, it will be dosed, but it'll be a full depth. No mound, nothing above the ground.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Light?
No question.
Mr. Abbott?
No question.
Counsel?
No question.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more question.
Okay, sir. Go right ahead.
Could you estimate how, granted most of Sussex County is flatland, but we do have a little bit of a crest or a hill there, that's Cool Springs. Would you estimate what the distance is from the crest of that rise in the ground, we'll call it a hill, but that rise in the ground to where your entrance might be?
Well, the crest of the ground, I believe, begins back where the existing single-family dwelling is. That's located on site, so you're looking from there to the entrance, you're probably somewhere in the vicinity of maybe 700 feet.
Thank you.
I thought you were asking east-west, and you were going to wind up going from...
No, I was
going east-west. You got the branch back at the community center. Probably that's, what, 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet away west.
If that's...
No, I'm referencing the crest of the hill at the single-family house, which is across from the other commercial properties, the marketplace. And
that's correct. Right.
Thank you. Good. I didn't measure it the other day.
Okay. Gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll kindly stand down for a moment, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1703 RWR9 LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1703? Yes, sir. Please come up, give us your name and address, and you may have the floor.
My name is James Hauer. Live at 18545 Stamper Drive.
Okay.
I have the small horse farm behind practically yours. Just several homeowners in the area do oppose.
Now, are you speaking for yourself or are you speaking for a group?
Speaking for myself.
Okay.
And I'm also stating that there are other people.
Okay. I appreciate that.
I thought we had to apply at the next meeting. I didn't know we were allowed to speak this evening.
Oh, yeah. You get to speak this time and next time.
All right. Good. I oppose it because the septic system, number one, is less than 60 feet from an existing well on Mrs. Stamper's property. My horse farm, in conjunction with the other surrounding septic systems, I believe is too much.
You're saying their septic system is 60 feet away from your well?
Stamper's well.
It's a Stamper's
water well. And I think it's supposed to be 100 feet.
I think it's supposed to be 150, isn't it? 100 feet? I'm sorry. 100 feet.
The majority of the existing properties around are residential on the south side of Route 9. This industrial use, as we see it, or commercial use, as a proposed, what they're saying, traffic amount. The traffic problem on Route 9 is this gentleman here, Mr. Johnson, mentioned the crest of that hill. I come west down Route 9. I'm sitting in a lane with a turn signal on, waiting to pull into our entrance, and I have people trying to pass me. I've almost gotten killed a couple times. So, number one, Del Dot, that yellow line is not nearly long enough. The other problem is the traffic coming from the west to the east, and people come flying over that hill. And from the top, the crest of that hill to that entrance is no 700 feet. It's much shorter than that. So I oppose it due to the traffic situation, the commercial uses. I would much rather see residential property there, which I thought was the initial intended use. That, the septic system, drainage, and all others.
All right, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up.
My name is Robert Italian. I live 23711 Pine Lake Drive, Georgetown, Delaware. I own the property that presently houses the Practically Yours Antiques. When I initially bought the property from Mrs. Stamper, there was a dirt lane there. I bought the acreage, now plus or minus 4 acres, 4.5 acres, and she was concerned about access for her and her relatives. Would I grant her easement to the property? We all enjoy that road. It's pine tree lined. I have two piers out at the end there that have a statuary on it, and I use them in my advertising for my business, and we all enjoy this road. I don't believe at the time when we discussed, you know, making this easement for all of us to enjoy, that we had any idea that it was going to be a property of this magnitude would be going into there. Like I said, I did buy the property, presently pay my taxes on the 4.5 acres, so I didn't receive any discount for granting that property for everyone to use, and I pay the taxes on where that easement is located. I have spoken with Reed Wood. They bought the property some 3 years ago, and I said that, no, I can't deny you access. There is an existing entrance that goes to the house, the dwelling there, and they've enjoyed it for 3 years. They rent the house out. At this very point, there has not been any maintenance agreement signed over the three-year period with any one of the parties that is involved in the maintenance, the lawn mowing and the snow removal, and they have rented the house out for the past 3 years, on and off. I'm not saying the entire time. But my concern is that I cannot deny them access to the property, but just as Del Dot doesn't want them to have multiple accesses onto Route 9, I don't feel that they, because that's not dedicated specifically for that property, it's for all of our enjoyment, I don't see where they need to have three entrances to their property any more than any one of the other people that enjoy that easement.
Okay, I'm just a little confused.
Well, three entrances. There's one that goes to the house itself. There are two other entrances that they're proposing to come off of what the attorney at Tunnel Eraser had sent in the property maintenance agreement.
Oh, you mean determining entrances, that as a street. You mean entrances off of the easement road?
Correct.
Well, sir, they're allowed to have the, access the entire length of their property line. So, I mean,
okay.
I appreciate what you're saying. I'm just trying to understand how it fits into to this situation. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's anybody's fault in particular that you don't have an agreement or anything. I mean, I'm just trying to understand how this is an objection to what they're what they want to do. I mean, I'm just trying to understand.
Excuse me, but my objection is that they have access to the property.
Well, that's
fine.
They
need three accesses to the property. I mean, if you had bought the piece of property, it's tree-lined with pine trees that have been there. Like I said, my peers that are people recognize my business.
Right.
Okay. By these pillars that are out there that will have to be removed. And I wouldn't, or I don't think that anyone else that has access to their properties just as much as Reed would have accident or Route 9, that they have any more use than we enjoy it together. But it seems like they would be taking the entire thing more for themselves, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Okay. I think.
Well, that's my objection.
Let me take a shot at it and make sure I understand what you're saying. Your concern is that their use of that easement is going to be disproportionate. In other words, they're going to create a lot more traffic across that road than any of the other users are. That
would be one, and the other one is that they're going to. The easement is there. We as a group decided that, you know, back in 1996,
right,
when I purchased the property, that she needed access to the property. I don't think any one of us involved, and we were all there at that present time in 1996, none of us thought that something like this was going to become of our private road that we maintain.
Do you know how many people have stood where you are right now and said those very words, if I had any idea?
Okay.
and I mean, I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying I understand exactly what you're saying. You just didn't anticipate it. I understand.
Didn't anticipate it. And I pay the taxes on that piece of property. I just feel that, you know, I had some say in how it was utilized.
And you gave that away. The problem is you did. You had the right to grant an easement. You exercised that right.
Well,
and if you had any idea that it would turn out like this, you might not have done it.
I know that they have spoken to DLDOT, but something of this magnitude, I would think, with 720 foot of frontage, that if it would require its own entrance more than.
You know, and I agree with you, and the thing is, the way DLDOT looks at that is all the entrance they want to Route 9. They don't want another hole opening onto Route 9. They want everybody to run through that hole. And that is something, you know, we run into this all the time.
Okay.
You know, but I understand your concern, and certainly can the commission will take
and,
that.
And not to repeat myself, but my other concern is that in the 3 years, I mean, by all the part, there isn't any maintenance agreement with them presently.
Well, is that their fault?
They purchased the property 3 years ago. I would imagine that, you know,
them an easement 11 years ago. I mean, are they any more to blame than you are, or the other people on that street, that there's not an agreement? It's not their fault that there's not an agreement.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but isn't there, in this property, covered by the road maintenance agreement? I mean, there is a road maintenance agreement between you and Ms. Stamper that identifies those properties. I mean, it's recorded. It's at book 2421, page 214. That's binding upon Ms. Stamper and her heirs, successors, and assigns. And that's the one that I think Mr. Schrader represented or referenced with the percentages of maintenance that are in there. I mean, so I don't know if it's not been enforced, but it seems like there is a maintenance agreement that exists that's recorded with respect to you and
Mrs. Stamper. And
right.
But not with Route 9, but okay.
Right. Now, and I'm not trying to disagree with you. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm looking at something that says what I think it says. Because you're telling me there's not a maintenance agreement.
Yes, sir. We have a maintenance agreement and with all the people that use the road right presently. But they purchased the property 3 years ago, and we haven't reassigned a new maintenance agreement.
I understand that it's sometimes a difficult concept because we, you know, when you sat down, you dealt with people that you could look at, and those were the three people or four people or however many ever it was that owned the property. The problem is all these agreements run with the land. So when the land changes hands, whoever buys it gets the same rights that person who owned it previously gets. And that's I hear what you're saying, but unfortunately it doesn't appear that the law supports you. However, I'm not an attorney. Georgetown is full of them. I think you should probably talk to one. I'm serious.
I had one that's involved in this evening, but he's aware.
Yeah, well, that's probably be a good, probably make his Christmas if you called him.
I have called him. I just didn't tell him that I needed to see. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you. Anyone else in opposition? Yes, sir. Now, are you part of this agreement that's not an agreement and all that good stuff?
Okay. I know that it was assigned.
Okay, would you give us your name and address, please?
My name is Dean Martin, and my address is 18538 Stamford Drive.
Thank you, sir.
At the rear of the property.
Okay.
Firstly, it was an incorrect statement in the beginning about the property not being used. Originally, this property was used as an alfalfa field, yielding 500 bales of hay every cut. Now, I know the easement was put there so the tractor could get on and off the field, but we're not going to get into the easement part.
Yeah, it's sticky. Yeah, I know. And I understand what you're saying, and we're certainly sensitive to that.
My biggest concern is what this property is going to do to the property values of the new houses that are now being built back there, which my house is within 8 years old. The other house, my grandmother's house, is within two. I'm presently building my mother and father's house. And these are all new homes with, you know, they now have the higher appraised values. And
mm-hmm.
I know that putting a piece of commercial, or as I saw it, looks more like industrial. Any kind of property like that in front is going to totally destroy the appraised values. I know they said something about the kennels being there. The kennels have always been there. They're alongside my house, but they're not alongside that property. They're in the rear. I'm concerned about the trash removal, concerned about anything that's just going to turn around. And also this maintenance agreement, you're now saying that instead of my house having a worth, it's now becoming a liability because I have to maintain a road that was not there. Do you follow what I'm trying to say?
I do, and I think that's something you all will, I think you have some, my opinion is that you have some negotiating room there. But that's just my opinion.
And that was part of Mr. Johnson here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about the lights, the trash, you name it. It's just not, it's not commercial now. It's tough enough dealing with a moose lodge that's across the street, which wasn't expected.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all it is. That's to do the value of the property is what I'm concerned about.
Can you come up here and show me where you are?
Sure.
Because I'm having a little difficulty.
Oh, there you
go. Well, I know, but I know it's off the map, but you're back here. Okay. And this is your access too, right?
Yes.
And that's the only access to your property?
The only access.
Okay.
There's another drawing.
Okay. I got it. I just want to make, I was trying to figure out where you were in the lineup there. You're all the way at the end. Okay. Right. Okay. All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right, then. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Okay. Come right up. You just made it.
Good evening. My name is Regina Stamper. And I'm at 18534 Stamford Drive. My property borders this property on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
There is the original thing I had problem with this is that the wastewater lot they had, I don't know where the thing is, you can't see it now. It's right on the border. Mm-hmm. And my well is 60 feet from the border. So that's, I don't think there's enough distance between that. They'd have to move that up considerably. The other thing I have is that this is dropping commercial props, 7 and 5 commercial properties right in the middle of personal housing, private housing, and small farms. From Cool Spring Farm all the way south to Route 1. At least on that side of the highway, that Robert is the only business. On the other side of the highway, in front of us, there are a couple of little, but they're innocuous. They look like homes,
mm-hmm.
whatever, and they're not a lot of traffic. From there on down to Route 1, it's all private homes. And it seems to me that the use of this property would be much better used by private homes, personal homes. We need a lot of homes for people who work at Beebe Hospital, for a policeman, for there's an intermediate range of housing that we really need here. And I don't think dropping this into the middle of the private homes that we have in that area is a good idea.
Okay. We thank you, Mrs. Stamper.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Can I ask Mrs. Stamper a couple questions?
Mrs. Stamper, would you mind, Mr. Johnson has a few questions for you, and I promise I'll make him behave. Be nice to her.
Yes, sir. Mrs. Stamper, did you own this parcel that was 5.91 acres?
Yes, I did.
And when you sold it, what did you anticipate it was going to be used for?
I was not a good businesswoman. My real estate agent and neither of these fellows were able to tell me exactly what they were going to do with it. I wanted to sell so bad that I trusted. You can't do that. I assumed they were going to put housing in there. Nobody told me what they were going to do. And then, of course, came along this business with the last time they made application for the commercial building and stuff, and that was turned down. And then after that was turned down, I thought it was going to be individual housing. I mean, they led me to believe that.
Okay.
And then I get this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Okay. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.